that paperwork. Usually you have to be married to somebody in the Ukraine. Usually that's generally the only grounds they give you. But because this woman knows him, we're going to kind of get a help there. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your mercies, Lord. And Lord, if anyone here tonight isn't saved, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would convict them of their sin, that show them that hell is real, that God, you're no respecter of persons, that Jesus died for all of our sins, and if they will just trust Him, that God, you'd forgive them tonight no matter what they've done. And Lord, that you have a home in heaven for them, and if they'll just trust the finished work of Jesus Christ, that the law has been paid for through Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for saving us, for giving us, Lord, a work to do down here until you come. Thank you that we can occupy. Thank you, Lord, that we can be called your servants and be your friends. And I pray tonight now you'd put your blessing on this message and speak to our hearts again afresh. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." I love that verse more and more. I mean, when I first got saved, me being a city boy, I didn't know much about farming. And I trow that most of you folks are city folk too, amen? But I have you know that everybody in this room tonight is a farmer for Jesus Christ. And we're in the farmhouse right now. We've gathered here tonight to learn how we can get out there and bring in the harvest. That's why we're here tonight. That's why we're on earth, amen? It wouldn't be great the day you got saved, God just take you home. But He didn't. He left you here because there's work to do. And the Bible says here, I mean, you look at this passage here, it's in the middle of a negative book. I mean, you look at Solomon, this guy had nothing but negative things to say, amen? Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. You know why? He wasted his time, for the most part. And later on in life, he got a little older, he started regretting all those wasted years. That he didn't serve the Lord with his whole heart, but he served the Lord with half his heart. And the Lord, I think, convicted him here, and he started speaking some truth. He started making sense. And then he started regretting in chapter 12. He says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Hey, you young people, get busy for God now. Hey, don't waste until you're 30 years old and go out and live in sin. You may not get back. Serve God from your youth. Solomon said it. He said it with regret. But then he starts making sense here. He says, look, live by faith. I did everything with my own knowledge and my own wisdom, but now I'm saying here, trust God. And you don't see much of that in the Old Testament. You don't see the word faith very much in the Old Testament, but I think two times. Children in whom is no faith. The other time is the just shall live by his faith. So here you have a Solomon saying, look, just trust God. Put it out there. We're the same way today. We like to see everything and calculate everything and make sure we have it all under our control before we're going to step out in the water by faith. And Solomon regretted those times where he did everything with what he could see and not by faith. And so you have this sense here, cast thy bread upon the waters. You don't know where they're going to go. You don't know what's going to happen to it. You just got to commit it to God and see what God will do. You could be like the guy down here in verse 4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. You'd look around and say, well, you know, what am I going to get in return? What's in it for me? And, there's too many problems on the horizon. Look at the wind. Look at the clouds. Look at the storms ahead if I go and do that. The Bible says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. And you could be so calculating and so intellectual about it and so natural man about it, trying to control the situation, that God can't bless you. I mean, I understand you got to be a frugal steward of your own household and stuff, but sometimes we do it so much that we don't live by faith. Amen. Solomon was over his kingdom and he had it all under control and it was prospering, but something was missing. The trust in God. Cast thy bread. I mean, you read your Bible, it's full of farming illustrations from the beginning to the end. I mean, right away, it's God planted a garden in Eden. And later on, it's talking about the tree of life and the fruits and the people eating those trees. God loves planting stuff, amen? And, you're a plant yourself. You're to be planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth His fruit in His season. The Bible says the sower went forth to sow, and some seed fell among good ground, and some among thorns, and some among the... by the wayside and among the stony ground. And some brought forth 100-fold and 60-fold and 30-fold. And some of them were choked and brought forth no fruit. Let me tell you, everybody in this room, you're getting some kind of results in your life. You're either unfruitful or 30-fold or 60-fold or 100-fold. God's looking at your basket and seeing what's coming in. Now, when I read that the first time, I mean, cast thy bread upon the waters. What's that even mean? For a Pittsburgh boy, I'm thinking you go down to the river and throw, you know, a loaf of bread in the water. Once you go down, all right, it's going to come back after many days. I mean, that soggy loaf of bread, you know, fish eating on it. What's that even mean? You know, you read your Bible a lot of times, it don't make no sense until you start Scripture with Scripture. And you see what the Lord's saying here? And it's talking about that seed, the form of faith. If you had faith, again, as a seed, as a mustard seed. I mean, how many times did the Lord use farming illustrations? Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. Get in the yoke like a cow, like an ox. The Lord's always talking about plowing and reaping. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So what's that saying? I mean, as you drive down these highways, you'll see the light shining off the water in those rows. Sometimes in Arkansas, you'll have those floodplains, and they'll cast that rice, they're planting rice down there, and it just, they throw it out in the water, and it settles, and it grows up. That seed's got to get in the water. And that seed is you, and that seed is I. Jesus Christ was our example. He was the seed. The Bible says in John 3:9, it says that we cannot sin because the seed remaineth in us. That's the Lord Jesus Christ in you and I. How did it get planted? He left His heavenly throne and came down to the waters. The Bible says the waters are peoples and nations and Latin tongues. And the Lord, the voice of the Lord, moveth upon the waters. The voice of the Lord thundereth. Where? Upon the waters. Upon mankind. And we as Christians are just a dry seed. And unless we get out there among the nations and take that message of the bread to the nations, you can't do anything. Look, a Christian is no good unless he's among the heathen. You have to take the seed and the water. The reason God left you down here is for you to get in among them like Jesus did and eat with publicans and sinners. I'm not saying go to the bar, but you can't do any good sitting in your living room just reading books or sitting in your office or sitting in your secluded area. We have got to get out among them and bring out banners and bring out the seed of life to them on the street and to them in their homes and knocking on doors and putting flyers where they can get it in the mailbox or get it out there on the street corner. We have got to be the seed get out to them. Jesus Christ was a seed planted in a hole in the ground and He came up the third day. You're to be dead to yourself. You've got to die to your plans and your aspirations and say, God, what would you have me do? How do I get planted in the water? The water are people. You've got to invest yourself in the water. I mean, you could be a beautiful flower and never know it in a packet. You know, all the seeds look the same. I mean, I don't know about any. I can't figure them out. You know, you take the label off all those beautiful flowers. They all look little round black seeds. Amen. And you'll never know what God can do until you plant yourself in the water. You're no good. It's of no use. A Christian in the world who wants to isolate himself and go out there and become a monastic life out in the farm raising goats. What good is that? Amen? And there's a lot of Christians running for the hills today. They want to dig a little hole in the side of the, you know, the Nile and go in there, you know, and what good is a monastic life? God didn't put you down here to be a monk or a nun. We're down here for a reason. To get the word, the seed, the life that we have mixed with the lost people to bring that beautiful life of Christ out of us. That seed, it might be a corn, it might be wheat. I don't know what you are. Maybe you're nourishing. Maybe you're beautiful. But God made every one of us seed that we need to be broken and die. The Bible says, except the corn of wheat, what does it say? Fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth what? What? Can't hear you. You're like my children when I'm... What'd you say, son? But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. That's what the Lord wants right there. He says it over and over in the Scriptures. He says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bring forth much fruit. John chapter 15. Lord wants us to bring forth fruit, more fruit, much fruit. How are we going to do that? Well, you know what? We're all part of this. We have got to get ready for the harvest time. You know, whenever you live in these areas where the farms are, they say when harvest time comes, everything gets dropped. And they bring every vehicle and everything. They get out in the fields and they work those fields and they bring in the harvest, because that is the key focus of the whole reason that you're planting all summer and working in the hot summer sun and going out there and watering and weeding, is to bring in the harvest. Why are we down here? We oftentimes forget that. We oftentimes get distracted. Amen? The Bible says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. What a promise. That's like, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hey, I'll take care of the rest. Take care of that business. Cast your bread upon the waters, and you'll find it. I'll take care of you. Give a portion of seven. Hey, have you given out a tract this week? How about seven people this week? Hey, maybe to eight. Also eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be on the earth. You know what that's saying? Hey, take care of the Father's business, and He'll get you through the evil times. You know, the old-time farmers, I mean, people used to be Americans. They'd take care of each other. Somebody had a bad crop or somebody had a bad year, they'd get together, give them a portion. Say, hey, you know what? Keep me in mind. That was your bank back then, amen, your neighbor. Hey, when I have a bad time and you have a bumper crop, keep me in mind and give me some seed. We'll take care of each other, amen? And I found that to work when you're good and you're kind and somebody's hurting for money and God's giving you some money. Help them out, amen? Or whenever you got blessings, be a blessing to someone else. Weep with them that weep and rejoice with them that rejoice. Share some of the blessings. Amen. We've been blessed, have we not? Where was I going with that? Sometimes I preach, I just thank the Lord. Amen. We've been good. It's been good. I tell you, the Lord's done so much for me. I just shared out that I was a friend to a man who was backslidden. You know what the Lord did? I'm going to get permanent residency just by being a friend to somebody who was down in the mouth. Just be sticking with the brother, saying, I love you, brother. I'm praying for you, brother. I didn't expect anything in return. But the Lord used that brother who was backslidden to start a Bible study, and then later on, help me out. I led a young man named Mostov Zdoravilo to Christ first couple months I was in Ukraine, looking for an interpreter. He came to my house. I preached the book of Revelation to him for about 2 hours. I said, you understand all that English? Yeah. He's scared. I said, well, tomorrow we're going to go out and talk to people. So we went out, I witnessed to 5 people. And no one got saved that day, but I looked at him, I said, what about you, about 19-year-old man? He said, yeah, I'm ready. We about dropped on our knees, he got saved. I've been his friend for many years, and he got mad at the pastor, left the church, went over to Donetsk where the fighting's at right now. But when I got to Ukraine, I was having trouble. We went through the whole process without any help. 4 months, nope, we didn't pay one bribe. And for 4 months, which usually takes about a month or 6 weeks, we went through it. I was under so much stress. I never been sick in my life, but practically. I got shingles, I got flu, I got the bronchitis, I got conjunctivitis, all at the same time. I had numbing on my whole body from where the shingles was. I thought I had paralyzed or something. And we're going through all that, and I didn't know what to do, and we need to get help. And this guy, Stav, he was living in Donetsk. I said, man, we need help to get into the head of the Ministry of Adoptions. We're having trouble. He goes, oh, I know a guy named Yura Safanov. Call him up. Called him up. He took us straight into the head honcho on the youth services of Kiev, Ukraine. And she gave us 3 hours, as much time as we needed. She gave us all the children that just came up. We couldn't see that the first time we went in there. They gave us sick children over 12 years old, and they were wasting our time. And then, hey, you know what? I led a man to Christ. And 20 years later, called him up, and he says, hey, I have a friend who can get you in. I got my boys. I'll tell you what it is. Just take care of God's business, and He will take care of your needs. If we would trust God, He's good, amen. But we calculate, and we hold back like Ananias and Sapphira, and we try to figure it out. How am I going to get something out of this? By giving to this brother, helping this guy out. Look for nothing in return, amen. Freely you have received, freely give. That's a good policy, amen? What are we talking about? Well, we're talking about farming. We're talking about the Great Commission. We're talking about the gospel according to Ecclesiastes, amen? There's a lot involved in this process, though. First of all, you're the seed. You've got to be broken. You've got to be surrendered. You've got to be committed. I mean, if you're a farmer, you've got to buy a field. You know what people don't want to do today? They don't want to buy into it. I read my Bible, it says, and a certain man found a treasure in a field, and he hid it for joy thereof, and went and sold all that he hath to buy that field. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came down, and he was committed to what he was doing. Amen? And unfortunately, it seems like a lot of Christians around us today are just wanting to rent. Amen? Nobody seems to want to buy into it anymore. I mean, it's like dating, you know. Nobody seems to want to get married. I'm in New York City. It's like all these mama boys. I mean, people today, they want to date forever. You know, they don't want to get married. Well, among Bible believers, thank God we do. Amen. But Christians today don't want to be committed. They want to just see what it's like to be on a date. You know, now listen, you got to be married into this thing. We're not dating Jesus Christ. Amen. We are the bride of Christ. We're married to Him. And you got to get married to the farm. You got to say, I'm not just going to be a sharecropper. I'm not just going to work the land. And when good times come, I'll be there. And when bad times come, I'll go find another sunnier spot. Amen. That's what most Christians do. They say, where's the church growing? Where's it happening? That's where I'm going, brother. Yeah, but when the lean times come and the hard times come, you know who stays on the ground? The owner, the farmer. We lost this year. Yeah, well, the bank took a big chunk of our, and we owe the bank a lot of money. And next year is going to be real hard. But we're going to stick with it because we own it. And this is our land. And this is what we bought into. And we're going to see it through. Christians don't do that today. They're always looking for fairer pastures and easier ground. Hey, let me tell you, it's hard work getting a harvest. And it's going to cost you something if you're going to see something in the day of judgment. You want to win some souls and do something for Jesus Christ? I'll tell you what, it's not just going to be a cakewalk. It's not just going to be, all right, have fun. The devil's going to throw everything he can at you to stop you from being on the land and getting something out of that soil. There's treasures in that soil. Amen. There's valuable things out there, souls out there, and if we would just see it like the Lord sees it, and we'd buy into what He's saying in His Word, and buy the farm, then we can go out and we can start sowing the seed. Are you part of this church? Are you a member of this church? Are you dedicated to this church? Have you sold out for this church and the Lord and say, I'm in this thing, come hell or high water. I'm part of the farm. I bought it. And I'm going to stick it through even in the cold winter times, in the hard times, in the bad harvest times. Too many Christians flee when there's a hard time or when there's persecution or when there's some people gossiping about the pastor in the church. Bang, goes this one, goes that one. What about you, Christian? Will you also go away? Being a farmer is not an easy job. You know, nowadays everybody wants the government subsidies and everything. The old-time farmers worked that field and plowed them rocks and took that horse and went out there. It wasn't no combines and it was hard work. That's what built America. You know what the Christians are lacking today? That work ethic and that commitment. When you buy a house, you are under it for a while, buddy. It's not just renting an apartment where the light bulb busts, I'll call the landlord. No, you got to break. You got to fix things yourself. Amen? And when you committed to this church and you say, I bought into this thing, you don't wait for someone else to fix it. You say, it's part of my problem. I got to fix it too. This is my church. This is my pastor. This is my family. And I'm in this thing. And I'm going to plow, and I'm going to seed, and I'm going to wait for a good harvest, and we're going to labor together, and we're going to pull the net together. Amen. We need Christians like that. The Lord Jesus Christ said, you know what Jeremiah did? He went out and bought a field when there was a war. You read that in Jeremiah 32. Everybody else was fleeing for the hills. We're going to Egypt. We're going to Babylon. We got our bags packed. You know what Jeremiah did? He said, I'm going to buy some land. Y'all go ahead and run. I'm here to stay. And I'm going to buy the land in the middle of the war. And I'm going to show you that God's still with us no matter what you think. And the hard times come, I'm sticking with it. And God's going to show you one day we're going to buy lands and they're going to buy houses and they're going to buy fields and they're going to plant vineyards here again. There's a lot of naysayers today, amen? God's dead. God can't do anything. You know what? God can do great things today. But you've got to be sold out. You've got to buy into what God's Word says. You can't get, He doesn't want 99%. He wants 100% of your heart. And if you want to see God do something great in our time, you've got to say, I'm sold out. I'm going to get married to the thing. And I'm not going to rent anymore as a Christian. I'm not going to just date anymore. I'm going to get married to this thing. Amen. Some of you ladies know what I'm talking about, right? These guys, you know, don't want to be committed. They want to be mama's boys. Mama cooks my food, and mama washes my underwear, and mama takes care of my bed. And now, why do I need to be burdened with a wife? I'm from Brooklyn, man. I mean, I'm not from Brooklyn, but man, I had a whole bunch of those guys. Yeah, my mama, she take care of me. You know what I'm talking about. We'll get married for it, man. I don't need that problem. I'm in this thing. I hope you are. I want to see God bring in a harvest in our day. He can. But you got to trust Him now. You ever read, look at this verse, cast. Just that one little word alone. That's a whole mouthful. You know what? There's a lot of problems in the world right now. You know why? Because Christians aren't casting it in. You know what Jonah did? He hid down at the bottom of the boat, hiding down there, and trouble was coming on everybody around. If I just stay asleep down here, everything will be all right. No, man, those guys were drowning. Their ship was going under. And it wasn't until they cast him out into the water. Cast thy bread. He's the bread of life. He was an Israelite. He had Almighty God. The bread of life was his God. And when they cast him out into the sea, into the waters, storm abated and things calmed down, and that was a picture of Jesus Christ. We're to be men of sorrows too. We have to go into the field, into the dirt, be buried for a while, go through the hardness and the coldness of the earth, and go through that breaking that others might have peace from the storm. Peter was naked, backslidden. I'm going fishing. What did he do? The Lord showed up. Cast himself in the water. And things were better. He grabbed his fisher's coat to him and he jumped into the water, for he was naked. A lot of Christians naked. You know why? Because they're not with the Lord. They're not in the water. The Lord said, come out into the sea with me, Peter. Walk on the water a little while. Remember, there was a verse over in Acts. It says, and the ship was broke up, and it says, and when we had eaten enough, we cast the wheat out into the sea. You know what a lot of Christians got? Storage. More than they need. After you've eaten enough, get it out. A lot of Christians want to die with a big bank account. Why? So you can stand before the Lord and the Lord said, yeah, great. You had $500,000 and all kinds of trusts and all kinds of 401ks, and you died and it went to your children who were heathen and lost. They spent it on the wrong things. I don't know. I'm just different. I think, hey, brother, you got a lot of money. I heard you sold your house. Yeah, but that's all God's money, and I'm going to put it into a Bible institute and land. I'm going to invest in God's things. I don't want to die with a penny in my bank account. So what about your children? Well, they'll fend for themselves. Amen. Let them learn how to live by faith. I'm training to be men, to work, not to count on any kind of inheritance, to serve God and see what God can do. Cast your bread. You say, oh, brother, oh, you're thinking about money. I don't want anybody's money. I've learned a long time ago, I grew up poor. I don't need money. My God will supply all my needs according to His riches. I'm trying to help you out. Instead of calculating 30 years from now when I retire, hey, let me help you out and say something. Sell the farm, amen, if that's what you think. If that's all you're going to do is sit there and try to worry about your retirement, hey, you don't know what tomorrow will bring. You better start praying about, God, what do you want me to do with this in my hand today? I know you guys are thinking about your retirement, and you gotta be wise, brother. Have you ever prayed and laid it in God's lap and said, God, what do you want me to do? Say, brother, not everybody's a missionary. You have to understand. Yeah, but I tell you what, God could come tonight, and there's a lot of Christians sitting on stuff, and people are dying for bread. People are dying for the lack of bread out there. The Word of God is not getting to the world, ends of the earth. And we've been blessed. It is our obligation as rich Americans to do something with the blessings of God to those people out there that don't even have a church or a Bible. That's my burden. And I'll tell you, I'll shoot you between the eyeballs, and I don't have any regret. Amen. Because I lived it too, and I've tithed since I've been a Christian for 30 years and paid my dues and been in churches. And even as a pastor in Brooklyn, New York, making good figure money, I paid my tithes to that church because I didn't want to take it from the body of Christ. I wanted them to support missionaries. And they support 22 plus missionaries now. I'll work my butt off day and night because I'm not afraid to work. And neither should you be as a Christian. Work hard. Cast your trust in the Lord. Put your life out there on a limb for God for once. Learn to live by faith, Christian. See what God can do. He can do greater things than we could ever imagine if we would just trust God. Believe in God. We hold back. I mean, when you go fishing down in Florida, you have a cast net. You ever go fishing with a cast net, brother? Oh, man, you should have. It was legal back then. I mean, the gill net. Oh, those gill nets, you take that 300-foot of net, and you take it out in the ocean, you bring it back, and you pull that thing in, and you start splashing the water, and the fish get scared and hit the gill net, and you pull in like 100 fish. And then you got a thing called a cast net, and the thing has little weights on one line and has bobbers. I mean, weights that go down, and you take that thing, you throw it up on your shoulder, and you get that thing where you can throw it out there, and you want to throw it so it opens up like a big plate, you know? And can you imagine most Christians today, their attempt to cast the bread? I don't know why I can't catch no fish. I try. No, man, when you cast a cast net, you reel back and you feel it in your abdomen, you know? You feel it down here and you're, woof. You let her go, you know what I'm saying? And you cast it. There's no holding back. I mean, you go out with a cast reel, right? And you don't go, this is bloop. Hope I catch a big one. No, man, you put the worm on there and you got a big heavy lead, just so you got a, you know, like a half a pound piece of lead. And you, bloop. Pretty good, huh? I'm going to get a big one. It's way out in the middle of the lake there. You see that? That's casting it. Christians make such a poor attempt. We're not reaching the ends of the earth. Why? We can look at it and blame everybody else, but we're the independent Bible-believing Christians. It's our responsibility to serve God, amen? And to cast the bread out there. And that's us. We're to lay our lives down and say, Lord, I'll follow you to the ends of the earth. And if you can't go to the mission field, do what you can to get missionaries out to the mission field. And send forth young men out of this church and young women out of this church and train them to be missionaries and train them to be evangelists and train them to be preachers and train them to be good Christian mothers and Christian fathers and be an example and a light to the world. Cast it out. Don't hold back. What is it all about? Thy bread. I mean, there's nothing like bread, amen. I tell you, one of the reasons I love Ukraine is the bread. They got bread. I mean, we in America, you look over there on the shelves, you're hard-pressed to find bread. I mean, you read the label on those things. It's about 70 ingredients, you know? Phosphorus, cyclos, strategine, yellow number 7, and what am I eating? It's Wonder Bread. You wonder what you're eating. And you take that Wonder Bread. And you put a little pressure on it. You can malt down about the size of a baseball. You know? That's the whole loaf. There's nothing but air. And that's unfortunately the average Laodicean Christian under pressure doesn't have much nutrition, not much edification, not much but air. And you take that Ukrainian bread, boy, I mean, it weighs. I mean, there's no preservatives in it. You got to eat it within 2 days. If you don't, it turns into like a hard, rocky substance. Chunk, chunk, chunk. You know what I'm saying? And they're about this big. And when you go to the store, that lady takes it off and says, what do you want, a half or a quarter or a whole? And so she slices that thing in half. You get a quarter. It's about that big. Weighs about a pound. The whole thing weighs about 4 or 5 pounds. You let that thing dry. If you dropped it off as, you know, a second-story balcony, bam! Oh, he's out. You know, that thing's heavy. And you need to have that. You want to be bread like that. You know, that black bread, that old, what do you call that, pumpernickel stuff. You know, that made out of real ingredients, nothing but flour. I mean, real ingredient. I mean, today you got 50,000 ingredients. You don't even know what's in there. Whatever happened to salt and grain and. Whatever happened to just a Christian, you could tell what they were. You see them, and that they speak the truth. You know who they are. You know what they're talking about. You hear, hey, man, everybody's got some kind of new doctrine today. Whatever happened to the old-time Christian, just the bread of life. That brother speaks the truth. He's bread, man. I like talking to him. He feeds me. He edifies me. That's the kind of Christian we need to be. When I first got to Ukraine, now, mind you, my wife was a university graduate. She was in one of those Semper Phi, Sigma, whatever, Delta. She was an important person. She worked for Oracle Corporation, making good money on her way up. And then she met me. She was all down from there. Serious. Poor girl. Took her out of New York City, the capital of the universe. Took her to Podunkville across the Hudson River. You know, everything outside of Hudson, across the Hudson is Podunk. Took her into a Plymouth Reliance station wagon, driving all over America, living in living rooms, living in prophet's chambers and hotels, and finally got to Ukraine, had her own apartment after 3 months. Three drunks lived in that place. Had to renovate it. The floor was a rubble. So for several months, we lived in Brian Higgins' living room, my buddy, PBI grad. I can't imagine how my wife did it, why she didn't leave me. Laying in there at night, what a shock. Living in New York with her parents, had no need for a husband. Pastor Bob said, God's going to kill you if you don't marry this guy. Threatened her. She respected her pastor, obeyed him. Finds herself in the Ukraine. People don't speak her language. Culture shock hit her heavy. And she'd lay there at night just kind of crying. She's a tough girl, but after a while you hit your breaking point. I'm all excited. We're in Ukraine. I'm going, you know, and here she is. What's wrong with you? She's crying every night. I didn't know what culture shock was. I mean, I have no culture. You know? And she said, I just wish I was home. She lived right, I can't imagine why anybody would be so excited to live in Brooklyn with 3 million people around you, all brick buildings and stench coming up out of the, you know, the steam out of the sewage and the trains going around you. You know, people from all around the world crowded in. You know, I just wish I was home. I mean, God could see you missing the pizza or something. Okay. She's laying there. She said, can you make me feel like I'm home? I said, all right, I'll try. And I'd rock the bed and go. After a while, she'd doze off. Drunks walking around the street. Dogs barking. It was horrible. And one day we were walking down in Kiev in the center and all of a sudden smelled something. You ever smell like a where they make bread, real bread? You know, bakery or whatever? We smelled bread. It just kind of lifted us up, you know, like a cartoon. It was just kind of lifting us up, carrying us that invisible smell of bread. And we walked down the cobble streets of Kiev. And we found a little bake shop, a little bread house. They just make bread. They have wooden slats. And they have them filled with white bread, black bread. That's all you get. It's either white bread or black bread. And we said, give us that white bread, big baton of it. And we took that bread and we were walking in the streets, breaking that bread off. And it was so good. It was so hot too, you know. And you said, what are you talking about? You're making me want to go home and eat now. But my wife looked over at me and we're eating that, walking down like two little kids, and she said, man, they got really good bread in Ukraine. I think I could live here. And the Lord did something magical there. And you know, I think about many of Christians probably weary tonight and hurting. The Bible says that something about God maketh manifest the savor of His Son. So to some, a savor of life unto life, and to others, a savor of death unto death. And I think about that tonight. What kind of savor do we have as Christians? You know, we're supposed to be that bread of life. Do you have the joy of the Lord tonight? You know, bread can make such a big difference in someone's life tonight. You could be that savor, a sweet savor of Jesus Christ to draw somebody with that invisible power of a sweetness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we being sweet like that bread? You know, that's the job tonight is, let's get the bread out. I don't know how you're getting it out. Everybody has their own calling. Some are to seed, some are to water, some are to plow, some are to plant, some are to mill, some are to bake. Some you can knead, some of you are good at that, right? Cause some affliction. But whatever it is, our lives are going through that process. And the Lord might put you on a shelf for a little while like they do with bread. And bring you down and beat you a little bit more. And then finally He puts you in the oven. I don't know where you're at in your Christian walk, but we need to go through that process, all of us, to be bread for the eater, to be a sweet smell, and to feed somebody who's starving spiritually on the brink of eternity, waiting for someone to say, "Here's the bread," and save their eternal soul. Thank you, Pastor.